Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And June is Whale Month on Real Science Radio. Just a bit of a promo there. June is Whale Month. And so, wow, are we going to have fun. On Fridays this month, we are going to tell the whole whale story with Dr. Carl Werner, who has just broke this story wide open. I mean, the scientist who became world famous for discovering the walking whales, right? These are evolutionists. These two guys in one office at Michigan State University. Two guys, the teacher and a student. These two guys go around the world. Wherever they go, they find fossils of walking whales. Oh, true, it's only a few teeth here and a part of a skull there, but still, they figured it out. They put it all together. It's a walking whale. It's a Pachycetus. It's a Rodicetus. It's an Ambulocetus. It's a whatever cetus. And then, you know, what happens is as often as not, they find more of the skeleton and more of the skeleton and more. And then pretty soon they realize, well, it wasn't a whale. Didn't have any flippers. In fact, it was a tetrapod. It had legs. You know, it looked sort of like a wolf or something like that. And it was really good at running, but it didn't swim. And it didn't have a tail like a whale. And it didn't have a blowhole. In fact, it was just some kind of land tetrapod. Very good at running. And you know what's funny? Each time this happens, even though when they thought it was an aquatic marine creature, they put it in the evolutionary transition to whales, then when they find the rest of the skeleton and they realize it's just a normal land-dwelling creature, they still keep it in the evolution of whales right where it was. So we're going to do this with Dr. Carl Werner. And you know who's inspired this? It's a young evolutionist who just got a degree in biology over at DU. He was in a debate with Bill Jack, the Christian apologist, Worldview Academy guy. They debated just a couple weeks ago, creation, evolution. So, and during the debate, this evolutionist said that the whale fossils, this is powerful evidence for evolution. And he mentioned some of these things, Pachycetus, Rodicetus, Ambulocetus. And the whole whale story is self-destructing. And it is so, it's so fun because the evolutionists, when they tell you about the whales, they say, well, usually we don't really have any fossils that show evolution actually happening, the transitional forms. But with whales, we got the whole story. Dr. Carl Werner and I, we're going to tell the whole story. And it's going to be stunning. Okay. So what I'd like to do today is give you a bit of what's going on here at Bob and Yurt Live. Some of what we have planned, a few more details, and also just some of what goes on around here on a daily basis. I mean, today, what was it? Today it was, and I shouldn't really say the name of the companies, right? I don't want to get these guys in trouble. Could I say the UPS driver? Will that get anybody in trouble? I say the UPS driver. I don't want to get the delivery guy in trouble. I'll just change some of the details. I mean, there's the insurance agents, both of them. There's the London Times reporter and his photographer. So the UPS driver comes. We're doing a show, a pre-recorded show for a science show. The UPS driver, I see he's bringing in a package to make a delivery. And he's standing there. And we're waiting and, you know, we're doing the show. And I just notice peripheral vision. Thank you, Lord, for that. I just notice he's just standing there. It's like it's been 10 minutes and he's standing there. Those guys, you know, they're all thin because they run like crazy. It's 20 minutes and he's standing there. So the show ends. And I go out to see, well, what kind of package is this? Couldn't Al sign for the package? What, I have to sign? And the UPS driver guy says, Bob Enyart, I want to talk to you about the Bible. So we talk about the Bible for a long time. I don't know how he didn't get fired that day. I mean, that was just, that was like Wednesday. And today, insurance agents come. We've never met these guys, right? A guy and a gal. And we talk through the ministry of Bob Enyart Live and why we got to fight abortion and the sign on the mountain with Obama coming to town and the DNC destroys unborn children. And the one agent, the woman, she says, oh, yeah, DNC, that's like an abortion too, isn't it? It's like a double entendre. Yeah, that's right. So, and then the London Times reporter, Adrian Gill, or A.A. Gill, he's got quite a reputation. He doesn't do hard news. He does more social stuff. And they sent the Sunday Times sent a reporter and a photographer to Denver because Colorado decriminalized marijuana. They we had really a good time. We talked for about an hour, and probably we'll end up with, what, two lines in the article? Probably two lines after an hour. But it was interesting. We started off showing, I showed him this three-minute news clip from a CBS affiliate in Denver with these kids who are dead because of the pot that they smoked. One kid smoked pot and grabbed a knife. He became psychotic, grabbed a knife, and stabbed himself 20 times, including in the heart, and he died. As soon as he finished stabbing himself, he died. The whole thing lasted just seconds. He's a soccer player. We could forgive him for that. But he's a soccer player. He had a neat life. And he started smoking pot with his friends. And he was dead shortly thereafter. And so many kids now in Colorado committing suicide. And young adults. And you got this stupid pothead spokesman for the pot industry saying on Channel 4, well, there's no evidence that smoking marijuana leads anyone to want to commit suicide. It's like there's no evidence other than the evidence, like the Lancet study of teenagers. Lancet is like England's journal, the New England Journal of Medicine, but only JAMA, or the Journal for the American Medical Association, the New England Journal. Over in Great Britain, they've got Lancet, the Lancet. And their study, published 2014, shows high schoolers sevenfold increased likelihood of attempted suicide. Sevenfold. And you got this pothead moron on Channel 4 saying, well, there's no evidence that smoking... No, there's no evidence when you discount all the evidence, you pothead. Say, oh, pot never killed anybody. Well, if you discount all the people that pot killed, then the potheads are right. Never killed anybody. With Adrian Gill here, and we actually, so I show him this clip from the local CBS News 4, and it's really powerful and stunning and terrible. These young people who are dead. He didn't know any of this, of course. And we're talking about how in 1985, pot was like 3.5% THC. And now it's up in the teens, but they have like oil that's 90% THC, 90%. That's how high the potency has become. And as the potency increased and the millions of people in the U.S. on pot and the tens of thousands of people seeking treatment for pot and all that, you could see that I showed them the charts and the increases in Colorado. In fact, from Obama's own website, whitehouse.gov, a recent study of the increase, dramatic increase in people seeking treatment for their marijuana use, dramatic increase as the potency has increased and as the millions of smokers has increased. But then on Newsweek's website, a recent study, nationwide, young adults, 18 to 25, what percentage of them have smoked marijuana in the last month? Nationwide, it's 18%. In Colorado, it's 27%. 27%. You know, we decriminalized pot for medicinal use long time, decade ago. So at any rate, the reporter from the London Times is here. And I'm showing them all this and the video and these kids, they take edibles and they blow their brains out. They jump off of rooftops and kill themselves. Think they're Superman, climb up the edifice of a building and fall to their death. And so then I asked Connie here, who's our customer service. Connie, could you bring in those refreshments? She brings in a nice plate with knives and napkins, and there's brownies and chocolate cookies and other edibles. And I ask Adrian and his photographer, Jess, do you guys, you want any treats here? And they look at him, and they were wondering, what's in those things? And I said, I'm glad to see you're a bit hesitant, because here in Colorado, the marijuana industry, they don't want anyone, including teenagers, to be able to distinguish between normal food and marijuana-laced food. They're fighting that. They just don't want it. So we got kids bringing marijuana brownies to school. What, up at CU in Boulder, you had, what, half of a class go to the hospital sick because of the marijuana pot brownies? And I know, marijuana is a miracle cure. I talked to a health professional, came to church on Sunday, Denver Bible Church. And he said he's been treating people for mental health for a long time now. And he said in Colorado, a significant percentage of the patients that present themselves present with marijuana usage in their history, in their profile. And he says typically they'll come in for anxiety attacks and they'll be smoking pot for years and they'll be so proud. They'll show their card. You don't need the card anymore, but they show their card. What is it? Red card. They show their card and they say, what do you smoke marijuana for? Oh, I smoke it for anxiety. Well, why'd you come in today? For anxiety. How's that marijuana working out for you? Oh, it's fabulous. It's the miracle cure. Yeah, if you're nauseous, it's the miracle cure. I almost died from being nauseous for 6 months. Thankfully, I had the miracle cure that I smoked every day for 6 months. The miracle cure. I thought you said you almost died for 6 months. You were so sick. Yeah, well, is it the cure or were you almost dead? You see, that's how you think when you're a pothead. So neither of these guys wanted to touch the brownie. They didn't want to touch the chocolate cookie. There were these other little edibles on the plates. They didn't want to touch any of it. And then by the end of the interview, I assured them that these were not laced with anything. And the photographer was thankful because he loved it. It was pretty good stuff, too. Had to stop off on the way in. My wife wouldn't allow that stuff in our house. Doesn't matter if it has pot in it or not. I ain't getting in the house with a brownie. So we went through with Adrian, and he certainly never heard any of this stuff. Oh, by the way, when he left, he asked if I could recommend a restaurant. He's been around the world, the best restaurants. I asked him what he thought of Harry's Bar in Venice. And he said, oh, come on, it's Harry's Dolce, you know, New York City. It's too much of a tourist place. And I said, yeah, but where else do you get the squid sauce like that? And he said, oh, yeah, that it's jet black. It's like tar. They get the squid, the ink, from the sac in the squid, and they make pasta sauce out of it. And it looks like your pasta is in a puddle of hot tar. That's what it looks like. And I said, well, you can't get it in Denver. And he said, well, what do you think? You're 1,000 miles from the ocean. Well, we get sushi here, sashimi. But I also told him you could get it at Little Italy in San Francisco. But anyway, he's done restaurant reviews for Vanity Fair and the Sunday Times. And so I suggested he go to the Fort and try their marrow appetizer, because they serve you like the femur of a bull. And it's like 400 degrees, and they cut it open with a table saw. And you scoop it out with Texas toast. This marrow, it's their bone marrow appetizer. It's pretty good. But anyway, but no animals were killed in the making of the meal. Just like, you know, if you were like a dog with three legs, that kind of thing. You know, a cow that's that good, you don't eat it all at one time. So at any rate, with the London Times reporter here, we went through the studies, study after study after study, of the damage that marijuana does to people's brains, to their mental health, with hallucinations, paranoia, schizophrenia, and increased. And I focused on studies done in Europe and especially in Britain, where the Lancet Psychiatry reporting on a 6-year study just this year that 1 in 4 Brits who are diagnosed with schizophrenia, paranoia, 1 in 4, it's linked to their smoking of marijuana. 1 in 4. How's that? 1 in 4. And then we heard the pothead on Channel 4. He saw the pothead saying, oh, there's, and they just did a story on young people having a great time in life on vacation, family and friends up in the mountains. And they go down to Frisco and they buy some edibles at a dispensary and they go back to their condo. And the one young guy eats 2 or 3 of them and then blows his brains out minutes later. You know, stab yourself 20 times. How often does that happen? I mean, if you're not a Muslim or something. Stab yourself 20 times. And so, and then you have this pot expert on Channel 4 saying, well, there's no evidence that smoking marijuana leads to, attempted suicide. Except for this large study published in Lancet. This was in 2014. The one I just mentioned with 1 out of 4 newly diagnosed in Britain, 60,000 Brits suffering from hallucinations, paranoia, and schizophrenia. 1 out of 4 have the mental health catastrophe because of their marijuana smoke. 1 out of 4. In this study from a year ago in Lancet, teenagers who smoke pot have a 7-fold increase in the likelihood of attempted suicide. Attempted suicide. 7-fold likely increase. 7-fold increase in the likelihood that they're going to try to kill themselves. Attempted suicide. That doesn't count all those teens who end up depressed and think about suicide. And then we talked about, of course, Ferguson, Missouri, and Michael Brown with the autopsy report, the coroner let the world know that he had a significant amount of marijuana in his system, enough to affect his decision-making, and that it turns out that his cause of death, it was suicide by cop. And you tell that to a European journalist, you know, mainstream, politically correct at some level, And Adrian looks at me. His eyes get real wide. He says, do you know how controversial it is to say that? That Michael Brown's death was suicide by cop? I said, well, he was in a rage, and he's on pot, and he's a thug. And, of course, with reckless hatred, he attacks a cop who's armed, and he already been shot, and his blood was inside the police cruiser. And then he turns back and charges the cop again. Of course, it's suicide by cop. And you're young, you smoke pot, you have a sevenfold increase in the likelihood of attempted suicide. It's just that Michael Brown succeeded, committed suicide by cop. And so what does Barack Obama do? And what does the media do? They put out this hands up, don't shoot lie. It's actually pants up, don't loot. But they put out the hands up, don't shoot lie. And they stir up hatred, the racism in the black community. They stir it up so that cops are getting shot and murdered because of Ferguson. And I mentioned to Adrian that also Trayvon Martin in Florida, he had marijuana in his system based on the autopsy. And it affects your judgment. And even in Baltimore, Freddie Gray, he's got a rap sheet as long as your arm. And he's selling pot this year, 2015, illegally. And he's a pothead. And the Miami Cannibal, they said, oh, he must have bath salts. He went nuts in front of the whole world. He's attacking and eating people. He's eating people on a bridge in Miami. He's attacking and eating people in public, naked. And they say, well, he must be on bath salts. And his girlfriend says, well, no, he only smokes pot. So they do an autopsy. They test it for every known drug. All they could find in the system was marijuana. That's it. And from the Pot Never Killed Anybody file here at Bob Inert Live, we shared with Adrian, the Philadelphia crane operator, pothead, who killed six people. You know, and there's the pothead who decapitated himself in his own booby-trapped farm. And on and on and on. It just goes on and on and on and on. But the media has been politically correct and only superficially reporting the damage to countless lives through marijuana. Adrian wanted to know, well, what's the difference between alcohol and marijuana? Aren't they the same? And I said, Adrian, millions of people smoke pot to get high, millions. Millions of people every night have a glass of wine with dinner or a can of beer while they're watching a football game. Soccer to him, and not to get drunk. Of course, there are millions of people who do get drunk, but that's the abuse of alcohol gets you drunk, whereas the use of marijuana gets you high. And society doesn't have to put up with gross negligence. And, you know, he said, well, I see your point. Not that he agrees, I'm sure, no. But I don't think he's ever heard these arguments. And these arguments come from, he said, tell me a bit about yourself. You're a pastor. So I told him about Denver Bible Church. And he said, well, what is that like? He said, I grew up Episcopalian. It doesn't mean he went to church, but he grew up Episcopalian. And I said, well, you know, in heaven, Jesus isn't going to say Episcopalians over there, Lutherans over there. He said, oh, I know. And I said, that's because there are no Lutherans in heaven. And he laughed. And we talked about Martin Luther being a racist and hating the Jews. But so he asked me about myself. And I said, in your country, you have to go to a museum to see a fundamentalist Christian. But here in America, they actually allow us to walk on the streets. We're everywhere. And so right now you're talking to one live and in person. And he chuckled. And I said, so I'm going to pray for you that you will trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And, you know, as he was leaving, he said, Bob, remember, you said you're going to pray for me. And the cameraman turned around, Jess. He said, hey, would you pray for me too? So I recommended that they try the fort. And that's right on the foothills for those who are not from the Denver, not from Colorado. That's right on the edge of the foothills just west of Denver in Morrison, Colorado. Gorgeous. It's on the National Historic Registry because it was built to look like an ancient actual adobe fort. So that's why Sam Arnold, remember him on the radio? He passed away. But his daughter runs the fort. So anyway, we had a really enjoyable conversation, as enjoyable as it could be when you're talking about people destroying themselves. But I think one part that perhaps they were especially interested in was the professor up at CU in Boulder, School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences, a professor who was interviewed in the Denver Post, and I provided links to all this. And she said, you know, your brain has these receptors. When you feel good, your brain produces endorphins. So your boss gives you a pat on the back. You get your paycheck. It makes you feel good. And you have a biochemical reaction to that. But she's an expert on this. And she said with marijuana, the THE latches onto those receptors and it doesn't let go. You have a glass of wine with dinner and you feel a bit better, right? And an hour later, when your wife gives you a hug, you feel good about it. But with marijuana, those receptors are all busy. And there is no room for the natural endorphins. So you get a paycheck, your kids want to hang out with you, and it just doesn't mean anything to you. Because all you want is that next smoke. That's it. Hey, we're out of time. God bless.